literature at The Golden Touch. Writer Philip Pullman has a piece of paper pinned to the wall by his desk. It reads, "Grab 'em by the throat and never let 'em go." This advice from film director Billy Wilder certainly seems to have done the trick. More than 15 million copies of Pullman's works have been sold worldwide. They've won major awards and have been made into plays and films. Possibly the biggest boost to Pullman's career, so far, was last December's film version of The Golden Compass, with Nicole Kidman, Daniel Craig, and newcomer Dakota Blue Richards in the leading roles. The Golden Compass is the American title of a fantasy novel published in Britain in 1995 under the title Northern Lights. It's the first part of a trilogy called His Dark Materials. After more than 20 years of writing stories, mysteries, and plays, Pullman's success with this work enabled him to become a full-time writer in 1996. Pullman began writing in the 1970s when he was a schoolteacher, fresh from studying literature at the University of Oxford. The fact that his early literary attempts took the form of school plays reflects positively on both his work ethic and his interest in younger readers. His first published book, The Haunted Storm, won a minor prize, but Pullman now refuses to talk about what he has referred to in the past as terrible rubbish. Since then, however, he has had more than 20 books published, including works of nonfiction and the popular Sally Lockhart series of mystery novels set in Victorian London. The current boom in teenage science fiction literature is often attributed to the work of writers R.L. Stine and J.K. Rowling. But Count Carl Stine, Pullman's first successful piece of fantasy literature for children, was published in 1982, before the fantasy work of either of these authors. Northern Lights was published 2 years before Harry Potter made his first appearance. Pullman himself does not enjoy fantasy novels, preferring straightforward realism, because I can connect with it, because I feel it tells me about important things, because it's real, because it's true. When it comes to Northern Lights, however, the apparent contradiction between fantasy and realism is only on the surface. The issues that Pullman handles, power, knowledge, morality, are real enough, and the author once said that everything I've ever learned has gone into this book. One of the most attractive aspects of his personality is his willingness to risk more than just a raised eyebrow when it comes to expressing his opinions. Pullman is an atheist. His grandfather, however, was an Anglican vicar, and the author grew up with and still loves the language of Old English hymns and prayers. "I was brought up so deeply in that stuff that I can't separate it from myself," he says. Pullman has warned that the importance the British school system places on testing is likely to create generations of children who feel nothing but hostility for literature. He himself is critical of the icons of children's literature, though. He has called C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia morally loathsome because the girls in these stories are not allowed to grow up, and the children all die at the end anyhow. And he has referred to J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings as infantile because the author is simply not interested in the way grown-up, adult human beings interact with each other. That's a lot of opinion. Yet one of the most attractive aspects of Pullman's writing is the undogmatic and entertaining way these opinions are expressed. Like Lyra Belacqua, his heroine in Northern Lights, readers are encouraged to learn their own lessons about life and morality. Lyra's story should be read as an account of the necessity of growing up and a refusal to lament the loss of innocence, Pullman says. So it's no surprise to find that even when we first meet 12-year-old Lyra, she is quite a handful. Believing her parents have died, Lyra has grown up at an Oxford college surrounded by university teachers called masters and the boys who work in kitchens or live on riverboats. Lyra is tough. She's clever and an excellent liar. She needs these skills to stay alive. Because this is not the Oxford we know, but a university city of quiet rivers and ancient buildings, belonging to a parallel universe. When the man Lyra believes to be her uncle arrives to tell the masters about a substance called dust, and its mysterious attraction to adults, but not to children, Lyra is already in the middle of a story about knowledge, and the possibility of controlling its effect on what we believe and believe in. This connection is precisely what Mrs. Coulter, the General Oblation Board, or GOB, and its religious controlling authority, the Magisterium, are investigating. Coulter and the GOB, known as gobblers, begin to kidnap children and take them north to carry out terrible experiments. It's when Lyra's friend Roger is taken prisoner that her own journey begins. She leaves Oxford and travels north to the land of ice. Helping her are John Fa, a gypsy, Serafina Pekala, a witch, Eric Bernison, a polar bear, and Lee Scoresby, a Texan aeronaut and owner of 2 hot air balloons. Then there's Pantalaimon. He is Lyra's daemon, an animal who accompanies her everywhere. Much of the time, Pantalaimon is a small, furry ermine, but when he needs to, he can change his form and help Lyra by turning into a bird, a fish, a moth, or a mouse, any creature that suits the moment. It's a brilliant device for talking about complicated ideas like conscience or the soul. Pullman has described the moment when he decided to give Lyra a demon as the point at which I realized I'd got hold of a story somehow that I could explore. It's a very good thing that Lyra has been given the alethiometer, the golden compass of the film, to help her find her way through all these complications. Lyra has a gift for reading this instrument, for measuring truth and reading the future. But even she has to learn how to interpret it by concentrating hard on its symbols until they deliver their meaning. Mrs. Coulter is obviously keen to get hold of the alethiometer. Readers and critics quickly made the jump from Mrs. Coulter's magisterium to its real-life reference, a church-like organization with absolute powers in matters of belief. Conservative critic Peter Hitchens claimed Pullman and the cultural elite wanted to expel God from schools, from the media, and even from the church itself. They would much rather he was not sitting on the bookshelves of their offspring, Hitchens wrote in The Spectator in 2003. The Archbishop of Canterbury, on the other hand, is a fan. He has met Pullman several times to discuss the religious implication of the author's work, which go far beyond what is normally covered by children's literature. Pullman himself says that he writes for all ages and based his Dark Materials on interpretations of Paradise Lost, a complex commentary on religion and morality by 17th century English poet John Milton. The film version has decided to play safe by avoiding any mention of religion and by referring to the Magisterium simply as a powerful authority on dogma. Nicole Kidman, who plays Mrs. Coulter, was brought up as a Catholic and was quoted in The Guardian as saying that she would not be happy working on an anti-Catholic project. Perhaps the author himself should be allowed to put this issue to rest. The qualities which my books criticize are intolerance, fanaticism, cruelty, and the qualities they celebrate are love, kindness, openness, curiosity, he told the Literary Review. Pullman appears to be happy with the film. He first asked Kidman 10 years ago whether she would be interested in playing Mrs. Coulter, while Dakota Blue Richards' star quality made her the best of 10,000 candidates for Lyra. Director Chris Weitz was impressed by Pullman's work, which offers everything a filmmaker could want: a compelling story, fascinating characters, psychological and philosophical depth, and an abiding wonder at its heart. Given the film's early success, its big names, and the fact that it was produced by New Line Cinema, which did The Lord of the Rings, the remaining two parts of the trilogy, The Subtle Knife and The Amber Spyglass, might also find their way onto the big screen. Pullman is currently writing a sequel, The Book of Dust, to be published in 2008 or 2009. For somebody who describes himself as being in the once-upon-a-time business, that's pretty good going.